Every time a CEO says, "We need to rebrand," and means we need a new logo, somewhere a brand strategist loses a year of their life. I know because I am that strategist, and I have been losing years since 2008. Here is the thing nobody in a boardroom wants to hear. Your logo is a signifier. Your brand is the thing it signifies. Those are not the same thing. They have never been the same thing. And the confusion between the two is responsible for more wasted money, more failed product launches, more declining customer loyalty, and more unnecessary panic rebrands than any other single misunderstanding in the history of modern business. A logo is a mark. It is a visual shorthand that accumulates meaning over time through association. On its own, before that meaning exists, it is just a shape. Carolyn Davidson designed the Nike swoosh in 1971 for $35. She sketched her designs on tissue paper so she could hold them up against a shoe to test how they looked. She presented Phil Knight with five options. Knight looked at the swoosh, the one she liked best, and said, "I don't love it, but maybe it will grow on me." It was not powerful. It was not meaningful. It was a shape sketched on tissue paper for $35 that the co-founder was lukewarm about. The swoosh is not powerful today because it is a beautiful piece of design. It is powerful because of everything that has happened under it for the last 50 years. Every athlete, every campaign, every moment of genuine cultural resonance that trained your brain to feel something when you see it. Take that history away, and the swoosh is a checkmark. Nothing more. This is not a new concept. It is actually one of the oldest mechanisms in human civilization, and the most instructive example is one most people do not see coming. Before we even get to Christianity, let us be clear that this practice did not start there. The Romans built their entire pantheon on the back of the Greeks. Zeus became Jupiter, Ares became Mars, Aphrodite became Venus. The Romans did not invent new gods, they rebranded existing ones, absorbed their mythology, adopted their temples, and called it Roman culture. The Greeks themselves borrowed from the Egyptians and the Mesopotamians before them. This is not theft in any criminal sense. It is simply how meaning has always traveled between cultures. You find what resonates with people, you absorb it into your own framework, and you build forward from there. Take the cross, the halo, and the pentagram. Nearly every major religious symbol in Western history has pagan roots, and the early church did not stumble into those symbols by accident. They took them deliberately. The halo was already being used in ancient Greek, Roman, and Persian art to depict the divine radiance of gods like Helios and Mithras centuries before a single Christian artist picked up a brush. The cross shape predates Christianity as a symbol of the sun, life, and the four corners of the universe, found in the Egyptian Ankh and the Northern European Sun Cross long before it became associated with the crucifixion. The pentagram, which modern Christianity eventually rebranded as evil and satanic, was initially adopted by early Christians as a symbol of the five wounds of Christ. Even the holidays are borrowed. Christmas sits on top of Saturnalia and the Germanic winter solstice festival of Yule, complete with the evergreens, the gift-giving, and the Yule log. Easter absorbed the spring equinox festival of Aostra, a pagan goddess of fertility, along with her eggs and her hair. Halloween is Samhain with a costume change. The point is not that any one tradition was more original than another. None of them were. The point is that meaning has never been created from nothing. It is always inherited, reframed, and rebuilt on top of what people already understand and already feel. The symbol does not create the belief. The belief creates the symbol. Take away the centuries of community, sacrifice, ritual, and shared experience underneath it, and the cross is just two lines intersecting. That relationship between symbol and substance has not changed in 2,000 years. What has changed is how many CEOs have forgotten it. Your brand is the feeling. Your brand is the specific gut reaction that happens in the half second before a person consciously decides whether to trust you, choose you, or pay your price instead of your competitors. It lives in the mind of your customer, not in your brand guidelines document, not in your Canva template library, not in the logo file your designer sent you last Tuesday. You cannot update it with a new font. You cannot fix it with a color palette change. You can influence it slowly through consistent behavior over time, but you cannot design your way to it in an afternoon. 74% of S&P 100 companies have rebranded within their first 7 years. Most of them changed their logo. Very few of them changed what they actually meant to their customers. The market right now in 2026 is littered with companies that have gone through two or three visual identity overhauls in the last decade and still cannot tell you in a single clear sentence what they stand for or why someone should choose them. Their logo is current. Their brand is chaos. Here is what actually builds a brand. It is not the logo. It is the consistency of every decision a company makes over time. What it sells and what it refuses to sell, how it treats customers when something goes wrong, what it says and what it stays quiet about, who it hires and who it fires, what it charges and why. All of those decisions accumulated over months and years create a set of associations in the minds of the people who interact with you. Those associations are your brand. The logo is just the flag you plant on top of them. The dangerous version of this confusion is the one I see most often in growing companies. Revenue is flat, sales are struggling. The board is nervous. Someone in the room says maybe we need to refresh the brand. What they mean is maybe we need a new logo, a new website, a new color palette, something visible that signals change and gives everyone the feeling that something is being done. So they spend $50,000 on a new visual identity, relaunch with a press release, and nothing changes in 90 days. The logo was never the problem. The positioning was the problem. The clarity of what they stand for was the problem. The customer experience was the problem. None of those things live in a logo file. 77% of consumers say they buy from brands they trust. Trust is not built by a logo. Trust is built by showing up the same way every single time across every single interaction until the person on the other end of it starts to believe you mean it. That is a behavioral commitment, not a design project. Logos matter. A well-designed logo, grounded in a real brand strategy, is a powerful thing. It signals category, personality, quality level, and audience in a fraction of a second. But that work only exists when there is something underneath it worth signaling. When there is not, the logo is just decoration. And no amount of beautiful decoration will make someone trust you, choose you, or pay more for you when the cheaper alternative is one click away. The question worth asking before you spend a single dollar on a visual identity is not, "What should our logo look like?" It is, "What do we actually stand for? Who are we actually for?" And what would have to be true about every interaction someone has with us for them to feel that consistently? Answer that first. Build your decisions around that answer. Then, and only then, design the logo that expresses it. A logo on top of nothing is just a pretty shape, and pretty shapes do not build businesses. Stop redesigning the flag and start figuring out what you are actually planting it on. Let me help you plant that flag. From yours truly, Josh Pears. Thanks for listening. Find more about me at joshpears.com.